Now, tonight, though, we get to listen as a very special person shares their thoughts with us. It's a person, and I guarantee you, every one of you here love this person. Not just a little bit. You love this person dearly. And what'd you say, Carolyn?
Now I know who it is.
Now you know who it is. So everybody, I don't need to introduce this lady. Everybody right here, she's been living in your heart for a long time. And it's our Lindy. Our Windy Lindy.
Thank you, Millie. Test 1, 2. I don't know. It's on?
Yeah, it's on.
Reese says it's on. Reese is sitting in front of the speaker. It's on. All right. Good evening. You know me. I'm usually topic challenged. Well, this time I had so many thoughts running around in my head that I had to put them all down on paper so I could throw away 90% of them. And I still ended up with about 15 pages of notes. Now, the last time I talked was about 3 weeks ago on Sunday, and I didn't have any notes because my printer was broken. And I'm just thinking, I need to get back to the broken printer status because I give better talks with no notes than I do when I have them. But I ended up with a short list that is based on a letter that Kurt Vonnegut wrote to a group of high school students who sent him a letter each asking if he would come to their school and speak with them. And he replied, well, that there's enough information there for another talk, so I'm going to save that one. But the point of his the point of his letter is to grow your soul, make your soul grow. And when I looked at my short list, or even my long one of topics for talks, I realized that all of them are about making my soul grow. Making your soul grow is like loving. You can't live without making your soul grow. But, as I said, for another time. I talked about my song in that talk a few weeks ago. And how many of you were there to hear about my song? Oh, good, so it's all new to most of you. Therefore, you won't notice when I don't tell you too much about it. Because that's not the topic of my song, of my talk either. But themes within the talk are very much the topic of the talk. Themes within the song. For example, the chorus of the song starts out, keep living. Well, that's a good one. That's just common sense, isn't it? But sometimes we have to work at it. Sometimes life is difficult. Sometimes we're old. Millie is an exception to that rule. Keep it fresh. If you're going to live for a long time anyway, you might as well have it be new and interesting and exciting and wonderful. Keeping it fresh is a theme in my song. Leave everything I know behind. Start this half of my life with no expectations. Allow newness to be a part of my everyday living. But that's not the topic either. How do I deal with feeling low? Because one of the lines in the song is, when you're feeling low and it's time to get up and go, just go. But be gentle with yourself and be kind. So when I need to get up and go, like to be here tonight, I give it my best shot. And tonight I made it. I was due to perform some functions on Saturday and Sunday, none of which were in my target zone, shall we say. So I stayed home and took care of myself. I was gentle and kind. I had some nice visitors all the way from Brazil. Well, not immediately from Brazil, but you know what I mean. How do I deal with feeling low? But that's not the talk either. Life is still unfolding. That could be the talk, but it isn't. The only thing that matters is now. Well, that's every talk, isn't it? Because we're in the moment of this talk. Or next week or 2 weeks when I talk again on Sunday, we'll be in the moment of that talk. but we're always in the present moment. If you heard my other talk, you heard more detail on all of those points, including the only thing that matters is now, because that's the title of the song. But none of those are the topic. Just to bring you up to date on Kurt Vonnegut so you don't go out scratching your head the whole time. His idea of making your soul grow is to do something artistic. Write a poem, dance, sing. His list is practice any art, music, singing, dancing, acting, drawing, painting, sculpting, poetry, fiction, essays, reportage, no matter how well or badly. Not to get money and fame, but to experience becoming. To find out what's inside you, to make your soul grow. You can do the homework assignment if you like, although that's not the talk. The homework assignment is write a 6-line poem that rhymes. It can be about anything. Make it as good as you possibly can. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. Don't show it to anyone or recite it to anyone, not even your girlfriend, boyfriend, parents, or whatever. Tear it into teeny-weeny pieces and discard them into widely separated trash receptacles. You have experienced becoming, learned a lot more about what's inside you, and you have made your soul grow. So should you choose to do that, Kurt Vonnegut will be on your side. Moving right along. We covered the chorus of the song. Let's talk a little bit about the verses. Open up and enjoy the ride is the tag of the first verse. Find a love that never ends, the second verse, and open up my heart to joy, the third verse. Well, enjoyment, love, and joy are not the talk either. But they bring to mind a song by Tim McGraw called Live Like You Were Dying. It's a story about a man who was having x-rays and tests done and heard that it might be the end for him. And he decided to take advantage of that opportunity to live like he was dying, because he might very well be. And the chorus of the song goes, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu. I loved deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. Any one of those could be a talk. Physical danger, skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing, bull riding. Many of us like to search for adrenaline when our life is stagnant or we feel bored. We would choose a rush of adrenaline from a bull ride or a skydiving experience where loving deeper, speaking sweeter, and giving forgiveness are emotional danger. That would be a way more interesting talk, but that's not the talk either. However, the talk is in that, because forgiveness is the talk. Now, Wikipedia says, forgiveness is the intentional and voluntary process by which a victim undergoes a change in feelings and attitude regarding an offense. Lets go of negative emotions such as vengefulness with an increased ability to wish the offender well. Forgiveness is different from condoning, failing to see the action as wrong, excusing, not holding the offender as responsible, pardoning, granted by a judge or so forth, or forgetting, removing awareness of the offense from consciousness. It is the act of giving forgiveness, even though you can't forget. Forgiveness has been in the news in the last 10 days or so. If you missed it, shame on you. The 9 African Americans who were killed at Mother Emanuel in Charleston, South Carolina, their families had an opportunity to confront the accused killer. And time after time after time, they said, "We forgive you. I forgive you," a victim's daughter said to the accused. "I will never talk to her again. I will never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you," said the daughter of Ethel Lance, one of the victims. "I forgive you and your family, and my family forgives you. But we would like you to take this opportunity to repent," said another family representative. "Christ can change you, and he can change you too, no matter what happens to you." William Dudley Gregory, a city councilman and trustee of Emmanuel Church, said, "We're not a church that hates. We're a church that's full of forgiveness." I don't know about you, but I would have had a hard time forgiving less than a week after the act. It was a huge act of faith on their part that they thought of it, one, and that they could do it, too. Because not all of us think of it in the first place, and then we might not be able to say it and mean it. So can we forgive? And what's involved in doing so? I feel like I'm going backwards in my notes. Did any of you miss President Obama's eulogy? If you did, find a computer and go to YouTube. I'm sure it's out there. It's well worth watching. He spoke of grace and ended up singing it. And it was amazing. There's no other word for it. It's amazing grace. I thought it would be interesting to pursue a path that I found on the internet that says, can we forgive and forget? And what does the Bible say about it? Well, the Bible doesn't say anything about forgive and forget. It says a ton about forgive and a little bit about forget, but it doesn't necessarily put them together in the same sentence as we do. But there are verse after verse after verse in the Bible that are about forgiveness and a little bit about forgetting, as I said. God says to man, forgive one another. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. My new favorite verse in the Bible, Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. A Christian who is not willing to forgive others finds that his relationship with God is damaged in some way. Matthew 6:15, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. And forgiveness is a part of living in peace. And you can't get to self-forgiveness without a willingness to forgive others, and you can't get to other forgiveness without a willingness to forgive yourself. Hebrews 12:14, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Don't go into bitterness. How easy for the families of the dead to be bitter toward this young man who may or may not have confessed the crime. But it's so much healthier, so much richer in act and in spirit to forgive than it is to be bitter. Hebrews says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. You have to forgive to get rid of the bitterness. And God has a reward in heaven for each and every one of us. But if we allow bitterness and unforgiveness to take over, then we lose that reward. Second John chapter 1, beware of being like them and losing the prize that you and I have been working so hard to get. See to it that you can win your full reward from the Lord. I found this article on, what the heck was the name of the page? answer?org, only the question mark was the dot, so I don't know how you read that, answer?org. They asked the question, can we forgive and forget? And I'm loosely plagiarizing most of their information. They say that forgiveness is an act of will. It's a conscious choice. Forgiveness is not an accident. It's not something that we just casually toss off. It's God in action. God commands us to forgive. We must make a conscious choice to obey God. The offender may not desire forgiveness and may not ever change, but that doesn't minimize or negate God's desire for us to forgive. If someone does something bad to me, they're not required to do anything. Their relationship with God is their own relationship with God. My own relationship with God requires forgiveness for me to move on and make my soul grow. Oh, look, maybe this is the talk after all. Ideally, the offender will seek reconciliation and repent. But if not, we still can decide to forgive. Oops. They say, the perpetrators of answers?org, say that it's impossible to forget. And I venture to say they're probably right. There are numerous opportunities to choose forgiveness, and we keep coming up against it if we don't really mean it. You know, lessons are repeated until learned. Opportunities to forgive are repeated until learned. Because nothing deletes the event or experience from our memory. But God doesn't remember our wickedness. Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive the wickedness of them and their sin, I will remember no more. That's pretty handy. God forgets that we sinned. But God is all-knowing. And therefore, God remembers. God just chooses not to do anything bad to us. We're open to heaven. And it is as if our sin was never occurred. Matthew 5:44 says, love your enemies. Pray for those that persecute you. That's the ultimate in forgiveness, to love your enemies and pray for them. Romans 3:23 says, everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's supposed to be comforting, I'm sure. It's not. Oh, well, it's okay. I can do it because everybody does it, right? Everybody speeds, so I can speed, but I get a ticket. Remember, forgiveness is a choice. Doing something to be forgiven for is also a choice. Don't be deceived. God remembers. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus, though, because Jesus died for our sins. Now, I never understood the concept of Jesus dying for my sins until I went into this deep discovery about forgiveness. And it was really all explained by a little boy in Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher said to the class, wanting to make sure that they got the message, what do you have to do before you can have forgiveness of sins? The little boy in the back said, sin? If you don't sin, you don't need forgiveness. Your choice. Pay me now or pay me later, as the Fram auto filter guy always said. Brené Brown talks about 90 seconds of discomfort for years of resentment. in terms of saying no to somebody that you want to say yes to, but you know you shouldn't. So if you say yes to somebody to whom you know you shouldn't, you're going to resent that forever. But if you just say no up front and explain your reasons and move on, then all is well. Forgiveness is kind of like that. 90 seconds of forgiveness versus a lifetime of sin. Well, never mind. That was probably the wrong thought to put out there. I did get a very nice visual image, though. To forgive and forget doesn't mean I allow the offender to get away with it. It just means that I forgive them in my heart of hearts, and it's between me and Jesus, or me and God, and I can move on with my life once I give forgiveness. Because as I said, the perpetrator's relationship is between themselves and God, and mine is between me and God, and yours is between you and God. And what we do with it is personal to us. Philippians 3:13. I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. So we can work on forgetting. It's certainly something that is there for us to do. My favorite verse again, Ephesians, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Okay, so there's a lot in the Bible about forgiveness. There are story after story, parable after parable. I decided to go with the forgive and forget theme instead of Jacob and Esau, Joseph and the brothers, the ungrateful servant who couldn't pay his bill, and the master said, okay, I'll forgive you. And the servant then in turn went and tried to squeeze money out of someone lower than he is on the totem pole. And the master said, what are you doing? I gave you forgiveness out of the grace of God, and you turned around and made this man into a sinner. And he took all the money back. So the guy had to earn it again. But the prodigal son, the woman being stoned or about to be stoned, who is responsible for the quotation about men who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. So forgiveness is really possible, as seen by the families of the Mother Emmanuel Nine. But if we can't forgive and we can't forget, there's always the God shelf. There's always turning to Jesus for his forgiveness that he died for us. And there's always a country song. George Strait, Let It Go. If you can't hang on to your load because it's too heavy, George Strait says it's okay to let it go. Life's tough and then you die. And there ain't no rhyme or reason why. It comes right at you. So you do what you do. Love's great until it's not. Hearts break, but the world don't stop. When it rains, man, it pours. You can't change the course. You can wish on a star, but it ain't in the cards. Let it go. Sometimes you gotta let it go. Let it all wash on under the bridge. Blow it a kiss. Give it a rest, because it is what it is. Let it go. Snow never bothered me anyway. That's an insider joke. And if you really don't know, then you've been living under a rock. But this is George Strait's Let It Go. And letting go and letting God is another way to grant forgiveness to yourself. It's too big for you. Put it on the God shelf. Let go. Let God. To summarize, it's a 3-page summary. Just kidding. Not. It's a 2-page summary. Okay. The Bible instructs us to forgive one another. If we are not willing to forgive, our relationship with God is at risk. Also, we can become bitter and lose what God has in store for us. We may miss out on grace. Forgiveness is a choice. We must make a conscious choice to obey God and forgive. Forgive and then move on with our lives. Forgive each other just as God forgives us through Christ. Do not allow bitterness into our hearts. Help others to find grace. God does not remember our wickedness. God is still all-knowing and remembers that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Having been forgiven, heaven is ours, as is our sin, as if our sin had never occurred. The vitally important conclusion page. Just remember what it takes to get forgiveness. Sin. But do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. This is from Ephesians 4:30-32. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. You will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, in my favorite Bible verse of the moment, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Be good to each other. Be kind. Be tender-hearted. Forgive. We can ride 2.7 seconds on a bull named Blue Manchu. We can talk sweeter. We can love deeper. But until we give forgiveness that we've been denying, we're not living like we were dying. Thank you for giving me this time.